Church, it's good to see you this morning. I am so glad that you are here. And I tell you what, I was thinking, driving in this morning, about this last week. And we studied together last week with John 17, and Jesus just saying, look, these are the things I'm leaving to you. And I was thinking about them, and I thought, well, you know, two out of three is not too bad. That I was carrying the Lord's joy in my heart this week. And I was being sanctified in truth and focusing on what God says about things and not what everybody else says about things. And then we got here together, and oh, there's number three. There's the unity that he said. And so I am so glad that you are here. It is so good to see you. And it's wonderful to be together. I want us to start from Psalm 103 this morning as our hearts and our minds and our souls prepare to lift God up and worship and praise, prepare to commune together with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, prepare to eat on the eternal bread of life as we study the Word together and enjoy the fellowship that we have. In Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This morning, Mark will be leading us in song, and Norman will guide us through our time of communion. And then after the message, we will have a time to share, to have any prayer requests or any announcements, and just let the body know what's going on. And then we will lift those up in prayer. But this morning, as we get started, we bless the Lord with our entire souls. With everything that we have, we lift Him up because He has forgiven our sins. He has strengthened us and renewed us and just given us that energy and zest, just like we had in our youth. God has done these things for us. He is almighty. He is good. He is on our side. And that is such a blessing. So let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We praise you together, and we bless you with all that we have. We thank you for your good gifts, because you never forget to look out for us and to take care of us. You meet our needs. You provide our daily bread. You guide our steps away from temptation and into your righteousness. You forgive our sins by washing us in the blood of Jesus. And you give us your Spirit so that we too have the heart of our Lord and Savior, so that we forgive others. Blessed be your name. Father, we are overjoyed to be here today, to lift you up in praise, together around the table to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, to fellowship with the body and have the strength that unity provides. Heavenly Father, we praise your name because you have put the joy of Jesus Christ in our hearts. Even when he was facing Calvary, trusted you so much that he did not waver. He did exactly what you sent him to do. I pray, Father, that this coming week, whatever days you allow us, whatever situation you afford us, that we too will have that same faith, that we will trust you all the way through. Father, blessed be your name. We give you all that we have, understanding it is woefully short, but it is yours. And we know, Father, from your word that that is what you want. Us. Father, be with us today. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us hearts that care about the things that you care about. Give us hearts that care about each other. Give us hearts that care about the lost. Make us in your image. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 108. Number 108.
The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Keep
Number 797.
Lord, we come before thee now, at thy feet we humbly bow. Oh, do not our suit disdain, shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain, shall we seek souls depend in compassion now descend, fill our hearts with thy rich grace, tune our lips to sing thy praise, tune our lips to in thine own appointed way. Now we seek thee, here we stay. Lord, we know not how to go till a blessing thou bestow. Till a blessing thou bestow, grant that all may seek and find thee a God supremely kind. Heal the sick, the captive free, let us all rejoice in thee, let us all rejoice in thee.
731. 731.
Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting it nothing, his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Abiding in Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit, love to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above.
Number 374.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all their guilty stains. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till all the saved to sin no more. Ever since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die.
Number 364. Before the Lord's Supper, let's sing number 364.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs, finding our forgiveness here. We in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. We are now a family of which the Lord is head. Though unseen, he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the
Lord. I want to start this off with 1 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 11. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now any Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? I have a tendency to build with straw when I build. But I'm married to a builder that builds with gold. I wish to compare two men, and you may draw your own conclusions. I'll start with Solomon. He was a son of a king. God spoke to him. He was given a wise and discerning heart. He built the temple of God. He did what was evil in the sight of God and did not follow him fully. Nebuchadnezzar. From the land God vowed to make an everlasting desolation. This is nowadays Iraq. Two, brought Judah into captivity. Had the sons of Zedekiah killed and put Zedekiah's eyes out. Daniel advised the king to turn from his sins to do righteousness. He did not. He was driven from mankind and ate grass like cattle. Now I want to read a verse from Daniel. Daniel 4, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all of his works are true, and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. Shall we pray? Dear God, we praise, exalt, and honor you as the King of heaven. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus, for the forgiveness of our sins and the hope of being with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray again. Dear God, we continue to praise, exalt, and honor you as the King of heaven. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus, for our forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that redeems us. Let us take this cup, remembering the blood that releases us from our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 162.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and praise him Lord of all.
After the lesson, let's sing number 552.
All right, church, let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, you have allowed us to approach your throne through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You have allowed us to be washed and the fountain filled with his blood. You have afforded us his record of righteousness. You have declared us worthy to draw near to you. So, Father, we We look at your holy scriptures with fresh eyes, with pure hearts. We study your Son because we want to know him better each and every day. We want to know what an amazing, awesome power and love will leave its own comfortable place and humble itself to be like us, to do what was necessary to please you and to sanctify those who believe. Father, this is why we pledge allegiance to our King. This is why we trust you with all things. And as we look closely this morning at the life of Jesus, I pray that because we have been forgiven, because we are now temples of your living Spirit, that you empower us and motivate us to walk as he walked, to talk as he talked, to live as he lived, so we too might see your face at the resurrection. Blessed be your name. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bible to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. This morning I want to tell you something new. That's always fun. That's always fun. Look, you're not going to hear about it on the news. It is violence, plague, unrest. Those are old things. Those are old things. But Jesus has done something new. He did it 2,000 years ago, and yet it's the newest thing that has ever happened to this world. And we're going to take a look at it this morning. We're going to be encouraged to make sure that our hearts are filled with love and joy and thankfulness and all the wonderful things that he has provided for us through his Holy Spirit. So that this week, wherever we go, whatever we do, and whoever we encounter, that we will not get trapped in all of those old things that are just being repackaged as new, but that you and I will walk in the truth of God that is truly new and life-giving and refreshing and empowering and eternal. See, eternal things are newer than things of this world. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus calls a sinner to join him in ministry. And he shares a table with all of this sinner's friends. Now, you've got to remember, and Matthew's writing to an audience that's very Jewish. And at this point, if they had, just like we'll see in a minute, those who originally had witnessed this with their own eyes, and then those again who would hear the story, what kind of rabbi, what kind of Jewish teacher who knows the scriptures of God would allow himself to be with these people? Who would do that? I mean, you should just stick with your own. You should make sure that you and everyone that you come in contact with is clean so that you are not defiled. And here comes Jesus, this rabbi, this teacher, and he is calling followers. He's calling disciples, because that's what rabbis do. You hear what they teach and you say, all right, that guy's got a pretty good handle on God and his law. I think I can get along with that. I think I'm going to follow them. And so Jesus goes, except he goes to places that you and I don't think of going. He goes right to the tax collector's booth. He goes right to the enemy of the state of God's people. Right into the teeth. And he says, hey, follow me. Now, I guess Matthew knew it, but Jesus was calling him to something new. Something new. And then the rabbi does something even worse. He goes with Matthew, who he was just called, and he and his disciples go, and they eat a meal together with Matthew and all of his friends. All the other tax collectors and sinners. Jesus basically does something that if you saw me doing on a Thursday night here in Lubbock, you'd be calling for my job by Sunday morning. That's our rabbi. That's our Savior. That's our Messiah, who is willing to go and break bread with those that are unclean. Who is willing to just break through all of the laws and the traditions and everything and say, look, God is a God who cares about everyone. See, tax collector, sinner, positive, negative, vaccinated. This and that are all things that you and I like to label and tag and say, okay, I can put everybody in their safe space because it makes me navigate this world easier when I know where everyone belongs. Oh, I failed to mention saved, lost. And that Jesus just breaks through all barriers, and he is saying, and he is showing, and he is living, that this new thing that has come is good for everyone. That's the Lord that we follow. That's the Lord that we follow. Now, let's continue in this story. Because this leads to two questions. There's two stories here back to back. And really, people they ask the obvious question. And let's take a look at these. Continue in verse 11. Now, when the Pharisees saw this, and the Pharisees, of course, they're used to rabbis, but they see this rabbi doing what he's doing, and they say to his disciples, hey, you're following this guy, but why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why does your rabbi act like this? Why does he do things like, why are you, because they're not just saying, hey, you know, your rabbi's kind of weird. They're also saying to his disciples, why are you hitching your trailer to this wagon? What are you doing? What are you doing? When he heard it in verse 12, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. So Jesus answers, because they want to know, what kind of rabbi is spending time with sinners? And Jesus just breaks in and says, fellas, I'll handle this. And he just answers the Pharisees directly. I'm sure the disciples were like, whew. Hadn't really had enough time to think about exactly why we're following this rabbi yet. You and I are sometimes like that. We get into situations where we're like, what would Jesus do in this situation? Why am I following Jesus in this situation? I'm not really sure. Someone asks you, hey, what does your faith say about this situation? I don't know. What does the Bible say about that? I'll have to look into that. I'm not sure. Jesus jumps in, he takes the ball and he says, I got this. Look, I've come into the world to bring healing. I've come into the world to fix what is broken. Those that aren't broken, they don't go to the doctor. Those that don't need help, don't seek help. So Jesus says, I have come to help and fix what needs fixing. I love that. I went to my chiropractor yesterday, and we were just talking. And I don't know if any of you go to a chiropractor, but I've been going to a chiropractor for many years. I go, you know, once a month just to get it all put back into place. And I was talking to her. I've seen some videos online. There's this. I don't remember what the guy's name. I think she told me that he's out of Houston, I think. And this guy takes big metal rods. They're basically like, you remember railroad spikes? Except not pointy. Just big metal railroad spikes, and he puts them on. He's got a mallet, and he just ka-chink, ka-chink. I mean, just everywhere. Everywhere. And I get my neck popped. It's the first thing that my chiropractor does, and they just get me all, I love it. My arms just fall off the table, and I just melt into the table. I absolutely love it. But this guy, he pulls and jerks and gets more pops than I have ever heard in my life. And I was telling my chiropractor, I want to go to this guy just once. I want him to completely break everything in my body, because that just looks and sounds so fun. Because all of his patients just come out. And he treats like professional athletes and bodybuilders. And these are guys that have rotator cuff injuries that could not throw a ball. And he's working on them, and then they're doing the full motion. And so he is really putting people back together. I'm just getting, lined back up because my hips are a little goofy. And we were talking about chiropractor, and I said, it's been kind of funny because I've been with you guys for as long as I've been an adult. And I said, it's kind of sad that people give you guys a hard time and don't consider you to be real doctors. And she was telling me stories and stuff. And I said, well, you're the only doctor that I've been to in 20 years. I said, you are my doctor. That's the only thing I need help in. Right? And Jesus said, look, when you're well, you don't go to the doctor. You don't. I give my dad a hard time because as soon as they hit the birthday and they, was it Medicare? Is when you get the Medicare birthday, is that it? Yeah. As soon as Robert and Janet hit the Medicare birthday, everything fell apart. They've been sick ever since. I'm not going. I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to ask. But he goes, those that are well, don't go to the doctor. Right? He says, but those that are sick, that's why I'm here. Well, that's okay. Here's something new that this rabbi is coming and teaching a message, and he is including people that we would not include. He is opening his table to where you and I might live lives of, let me see your reservation. And Jesus is saying, all you can eat, the buffet is open, right? It's a different way of looking at things. That's kind of new. And then another question, another why. Verse 14. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast? And Jesus said to them, well, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Look, the days will come when the bridegroom's taken away from them, and then they'll fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. Jesus, why do your followers not fast? I mean, fasting is a good thing then and now. It's a good thing, and it was a regular part of all of our devotion to God. That anyone that would say, you know what, today or these 2 days or this week, I am not going to rely upon those foods that I usually rely upon to give me the strength that I need to get through this period of time. But God, instead, I'm going to rely upon you and your strength. And whenever I get hungry, I'm going to study my Bible. And whenever my stomach growls, I'm going to pray louder. Those are the reasons for fasting. to show God that you trust Him and Him alone. And so these people are coming up to Jesus and saying, look, everybody else that follows a rabbi, they have regular times of fasting. You guys are just going around here like it's some kind of party. I mean, you guys are acting like a wedding feast. What is this? And so Jesus tells them, well, when the bridegroom is with you, you party. I mean, when he goes away, then you can be sad. And you can miss those times of party. But right now, it's a time of partying. What kind of rabbi, what kind of teacher, what kind of Jewish holy man who knows the scriptures of God is going around saying, look, it's party time. These are not, we like our disciples in sackcloth and ashes, and we like to be able to see how sorry they are for their own sin and how far away they seem from God. And we like the colorful robes and the tassels that set us apart from the common man who is unclean and not worthy of God's forbearance. And yet your followers are just sitting around having a good old time. What is this? And Jesus tells him, well, you see, it's something new. It's something new. See, hearts have to be changed. Lives have to be changed. This is not just going to be another set of rules for people to, okay, well, I got the rules, I got the handbook. I can do these rules, and because I do these rules, the deity that I have chosen to follow will look down upon me in favor and say, oh good, you're following my rules, I will now bless you. Jesus is doing something different. Jesus is doing something different. He's opening the table to sinners. He's inviting everyone in, and he's enjoying himself. That's kind of strange. That's kind of strange. Why do your followers not fast? Because I am with them. Church, we have got to understand. We have got to understand that Jesus, and just like these stories, Jesus will not be that new patch of cloth that we just slap on our lives. Because you and I, we've messed it up. We've made a mess of it. If you think of your life as that used garment, you think of your life as those old raggedy robes that you walk through the dusty streets of Jerusalem in, and Jesus says, following me is not like, well, you just come to me and I'm just, you know, going to give you your little badge, give your badge, or you've got some old clothes, and so I'm just going to take a new piece of cloth and we just cut it and we'll just patch you right up and you'll be fine. He says, no, it doesn't work like that. It'll just tear away. And then he tells this other story, and he says the same thing with wine and wineskins. I've got new wine, and new wine's got to do something, right? What's wine got to do? I mean, it's got to ferment, right? It's got to bubble. It's got to release the gases. It's got to get going. He said, if you take that new wine that still has to go through all of that process to make it really good, and you put it in those old, brittle, set in its way wineskins, what's going to happen? Trouble. Instead, you got to get that new wine and you got to put it in new wineskins, and those two things together will figure this out. They'll figure this out. They'll grow up together. They'll age together. They'll work together. They'll stretch and they'll bend and they'll move as needed. So he makes us new. And church, this is awesome because this is us. This is us. Look, this is why Peter and Matthew, in Acts 2:38, the whole crowd says, well, what do we do? What do we do about the fact that this new teacher that has come along, we killed him? And Peter said, yeah, you did. That was God's son. He had to die, but you did it. And they said, what do we do? And he says, you remember Acts 2:38? I hope so. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. That is, turn back. Repent. Sounds familiar, right? Isn't that what John said? I mean, John went before Jesus calling to Israel, repent. How do we make God happy? Repent. Turn back to Him. What do we do to please God? Repent. Turn back to Him. And then make sure that your everyday life looks like a life of repentance. Make sure that the things that you say and do and how you treat other people look like you actually are following God. That makes sense, doesn't it? That makes very much sense. It should make sense for us too. As we go throughout this week, we make sure that the things that we say and the things that we do and the interactions we have with other people reflect the fact that we have turned back to God. That's what it means to be a follower. That's what it means to be a disciple. And so that's why in Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent and be baptized. Why? Sins forgiven, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the whole new wineskins. That's what Jesus is doing here. Sins forgiven. When we turn back to God, when we are born again, made new in our baptism. And again, the baptism theology, this is just another, you know, one to put in your pocket and just have when you have those conversations. Because we have those conversations. It's just another one. But that's why it's all tied together. Because the sins are forgiven, new wineskin, which is now ready for new wine, the Holy Spirit. That's why it's all put together. That's why we don't just separate it and throw it all around everywhere and say, you know, whatever. No. God says and does things for a reason. It's because He knows best. He knows what He's doing. And so He says, repent and be baptized. Turn back to God and be born again in the waters of baptism. Be fresh, be new. And now that you have risen from the waters of baptism, forgiven, saved, a child of God, renewed, now you're ready. The temple is clean. It's just like that story. Jesus got the whip together and you're not using my Father's house the way it's supposed to be used. He chased him out of there. So when we are baptized, it's all cleaned out. And now God says, that's a place where I can dwell. New wine. He fills us with His Spirit. So you and I are new creation. You and I are newly born children of God. Forgiven and cleansed. Not because we were not worthy to sit at Matthew and his buddy's table. We would have fit right in at Matthew and his buddy's table when we came to Jesus. We don't want to be those who are walking around going, what kind of rabbi is this? He spends time with sinners. No, that's why we're so appreciative of Jesus, because we're like, yeah, He does. Spends time with me. I'm very happy. I'm very thankful. That's why those that follow Jesus are so tight. They're not gonna deny Him, because we understand what He's done for us. He found us when we were lost. He rescued us. He brought us back to life. And with that new life, He fills us with the Holy Spirit. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, as he usually does, he helps us out. Colossians chapter 3. We'll figure out a little bit more of being filled with this new wine, of being born again to this new life, what it looks like. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Colossians 3, 5 says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. All right, so Paul, in writing to Christians, says, do not allow that cleansed temple to be invaded once again by these bad things. Bad things are still in the world. Sin is still in the world. sin is still an option. And because sin is still in the world, God's wrath is coming. That's his promise. It's still there. It still exists. We did not cleanse ourselves. The blood of Jesus washes away our sins. I cannot save myself. You cannot save yourself. Nobody can save themselves. We need a Savior. That's why we have Jesus. And because we have a Savior, our temple has been washed inside and out. It's been filled with God's Spirit. So it's no longer my will, but it's His will be done. And Jesus showed us how to do that. Going into the most difficult day of His entire life, He prayed, Father, this is tough. This is it. And however you can help, I'll take it. But still, not my will be done. Your will be done. Because that is what matters. All that sin is still in the world. And because of it, the wrath of God is coming. You know what's scary? Is how much worse the wrath of God is going to be than the wrath of man. We see the wrath of man, and sometimes it makes us nervous, right? Sometimes it's scary. We're a little shocked at how people can be, how people can act. And yet, the wrath of God is much scarier. You and I know this. The world doesn't know this. They don't believe it. They don't believe it. What can an invisible God up there, out there, wherever you say He is that I've never seen and I don't have any evidence of, I don't believe He can touch me. I don't believe He can get to me. I mean, I look around at the world, I don't see any justice. I don't see things getting fixed. Where is your God? He's coming. He's coming. He's got work to do right now, but He is coming. And you and I know all the things that are going to happen when He returns. It's going to be real good. It's going to be real bad. The great and terrible day of the Lord, right? But that's not us. Let's get to the good new stuff. Verse 7. In these two, you once walked when you were living in them. See, that was your old life. That was you. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self or the old man with his practices, and you have put on the new self or the new man, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So here, among the new people, there's not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Whew. So now that we put on the new man, and this new man, this new self that we have put on, we put away the old, we put to death everything earthly. We said, I cannot live like that anymore. The temptation still comes, and you and I will still fall into some things. It still happens, and when we do, we repent, we turn right back. Right? But that's not us anymore. I can do something from my former life, and that still not describe me. It's out of the ordinary for me, right? It's like someone that you know who is very peaceful and very soft-spoken and quiet, and then you hear them raise their voice, and you go, whoa, okay, wow. It's very out of character, right? Exactly. It would be, we get to know each other's character, so we recognize each other according to our character, and when someone does something out of character, it just kind of takes us aback. So the same is done for us. When you and I miss the mark, when you and I sin, it's out of character. It's not who we are. We put those things to death. Now, they're still trying to climb back up. The wrath of God still hadn't wiped them out yet. It's coming. But they still have that power to come up and say, hey, I'm wanting to entice you. I want you to talk bad about somebody. I want you to not have faith. I want you to be afraid. I want you to worry. I want you to treat other people bad. I want you to only look out for yourself. All that stuff that the enemy uses. No, 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 no. That person doesn't live here anymore. The new person lives here. And the new person that lives here is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. See, the new me is really Jesus. The new me is Jesus. It's not a self-help plan. It's not a diet or an exercise plan. It's not a, you know, I'm going to make my life better in 30 days, or I'm going to change bad habits into good. It's not that. I've been born again to a new me. And that new me is being created and fashioned and imaged after its creator. I don't want to look like the world. I want to look like the one who made me. I want to look like the one who made me, who put me here, and who knows what it looks like to work best. So, what will I do? I will continue to keep my eyes on Jesus, because I want to know what I'm supposed to look like. I want to know what this life is supposed to be. I want to, I want to build a house that lasts. I want to be building a life that when Jesus comes back and says, okay, I've seen what you've been spending your days and your months and your years doing. Let's see how worthy it was of your time. We all want that, don't we? We want the efforts that we've given in God's kingdom to last. That's why we do them. We want the things that we say and that we do and how we live here to be eternal, to be carried with us. We want people that we have reached out to with the good news to be in heaven with us. We want God's kingdom. Well, God's kingdom is going to last, but we want to know we had a part in that. Because if we're Christians and we just waste our time with things that are beneath us, it's all going to be, everything we did is going to be wiped out. I mean, we'll make it. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. That's not a saved, lost argument. That's about what do we do once we got in? What do we do? Did we waste all of our time with television and the internet? Or did we waste all of our time having dinner with sinners and tax collectors and telling them about this new life? What do we do? What do we do? So we as his, as belonging to our Creator, we're like Jesus because we are set apart. You know what I noticed, and you've noticed this too, the world is really showing old sins. I mean, it's new forms, but it's old sins. You look around and, I mean, what do you see? You see a world that is not holy, and there is no mercy. There's really a lack of holiness and mercy all around us. That's what I see. Nothing's set apart anymore. Nothing's sacred. Nothing is... Nothing looks like that. But, I don't know, verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. I mean, right there, holy, beloved, compassionate hearts, holiness and mercy. These things are new. The ways of the world are old. They're old. Everything you see on the news today is old. Everything you read about on your phone this week, it's old. There is nothing new. The enemy's playbook is old. I know because it's delivered to us in new, exciting, and beeping ways, it feels new. It's not. It's old. What's new? What's new is what we have been given. What's new is this new person that has been washed clean, filled with the Spirit of God, and bursting out on the scene in ways that this world has never seen before. Have you ever had someone talk to you and say, why are you doing that? And you have to tell them it's because you're a Christian? It's new to them, isn't it? Why would you not do the things that I'm doing? See? Christianity's new to the world in every generation. It's new. It's new because the world constantly tries to stay in its old rut. Same old, same old. Same thing. I mean, it's delivered in new mediums, but it's the same thing. But holiness, mercy, these things are new. In 1 Peter 2:10, and I'll just quote it. Peter says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Church, you having received mercy from God, you having been called in to that table with all the taxpayers and sinners, you've been shown mercy. You've been shown love. You've been brought in to his banquet table. Church, that is the new thing that we have got to take with us this week. And we all know that there are challenges in the world today that keep us from doing that, but we cannot keep from doing that. We cannot just say, okay, well, we'll put this whole thing on hold, and when things get good again, or when things get at least normal again, then I will reach out to those around me with the good news of Jesus. We can't just say, I'm just going to live and just hope to get through this whole thing just like everybody else. So then on the other side, then it will be okay to talk to the lost about their need for a Savior. Once everything gets smoothed out, then I can put my mind on God's priorities. Do you remember what was happening to Jesus when he said, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing? What? He was hanging on the cross. That's right. See, you and I are being remade into the image of our Creator. You and I are becoming like Jesus. Jesus didn't say, Father, I'll get back to you on that whole redeeming the world thing because, you know, this is uncomfortable. Check with me Sunday. See if I'm still in the mood to do all this. He didn't do that, did he? Nope. He did not. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he was silent. That's our Lord and Savior. That's the one we follow. That's the one who has filled us with the new wine. That's the one who has given us his very spirit, who actually cares about the people around him who would hurt him and do him harm. That's Jesus. That's his table. You and I have been invited to his table, church, and we have got to reach out and invite them. It's not our table, it's his table. But we've been invited to it. And he's included us in that ministry. He's made us new people. And we need to share that with those around. We cannot wait for a day when it all feels back to okay and back to comfortable. Newsflash. It's not happening anytime soon. I'll ask Ben to erase that so I don't scare the people at home. We cannot wait for things to get back to something before we get to following Jesus. All right? We follow Jesus. We follow Jesus. All right. I won't make any assumptions, so if you need to become a Christian today, or if you needed us to pray for you, let us know. After we sing together, we will share announcements and we will take any prayer requests that anyone has. But church, let us be that new creation that God has made us to be this week. You are not that old person you used to be. You are a new person. You're that new man, that new woman, filled with his spirit, filled with his new wine. And it's fermenting. It's bubbling, it's aging, it's working it all out. Just kind of, yeah, all right, getting this figured out. I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. And I'm saying and doing things that I don't normally say and do. It's okay. We were made to grow into the image of God. Was the image of God always recognized in the life of Jesus Christ? Sure wasn't. They said all sorts of horrible things about him. They didn't know what they were looking at. So maybe, just maybe, the followers of Jesus might not always be recognized by the world around us. Just a thought, right? All right. If you need anything at all, let's stand together and sing. Okay, here's what I know, and then you can fill me in on what is new. Nixon's had their baby girl, and they're home from the hospital. Madeline? Madeline was 12 pounds, 32 ounces, 111 inches long. Did I get that right? No. Sorry. Some of you said we need to lay hands on her. No, it was a big baby, but healthy. Little breathing problems at the start. Madeline was in NICU, but they are home and they're good. I have not heard Sonny kind of. I was asking them directly, and they wouldn't tell me anything of when I could kind of deliver some food to them, have that dropped off. But if you want, I would check with either I think Lisa Sanders or Sonny and see if we'll get probably a sign up sheet to help get them some meals. So we'll get that together. But they're good and they're home. So we are very grateful for that. there was our people that went to White River Youth Camp. There was someone that was asymptomatic and. It kind of hit Robert's class. So Robert and Janet tested positive this last week. He stayed home. She was here, but they tested on Wednesday. They tested on Wednesday and found out Thursday morning. The three grandkids have been staying there, and so they have stayed with them. One of them was positive, and so they're just staying in for the duration. Robert's feeling better and sounding better as of yesterday afternoon when I talked to him. So they're okay. Janet didn't really get a lot of any symptoms or anything, and the kids are okay, and he's feeling better, but we just need to pray for healing for all of them. We need to remember in our prayers, Greg Fancher, son-in-law, he got shingles really bad behind his ear and neck and shoulder, and so we need to pray for his healing. And then Deanne's husband, Richard, has been diagnosed with esophageal cancer. And so it's there. We need to pray for healing, and we need to pray that that does not spread anywhere so that they can take care of that where it's at. Okay, so that's Richard. So we need to remember Greg and Richard for healing, and then Robert and Janet and the kids. I know that Lance Lee was in their group, but he tested negative. Brock Cheek was in their group. He tested positive, asymptomatic. I mean, he's fine, but they're locked up too. So there were just several that came home from it with it. So what else? What else is going on? What do we need to remember this week, and what do we need to lift up in prayer? Anything else? And Rita, if you want to call Sonny, feel free. I mean, she counseled two women at work this past week. I mean, she's worked her way on the ins and out of it, that she's done exams. She knows what it is, and so she helps wherever she can. But if you have any questions, feel free to call her. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay. All right, we will close in prayer. Remember, we've got the plate in the back. You can do your giving in the foyer, and let's just make sure we make our way outside and fellowship and talk a while and enjoy the fresh air. It's not 117 out there, so the day is young yet. So it's not quite that hot, so we can hang out for a little bit and fellowship with each other. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we love you so very much that you saw fit to send your only son down here to clean up the mess that we have made. We praise your name. And Father, you saw fit that even though we were not a people, even though we hadn't received mercy or shown anyone mercy, you extended mercy to us. You invited us to your table. Blessed be your name. Father in heaven, we, none of us, claim anything that we have done as ours or good or anything. Father, we are grateful to have our sins forgiven, to have our account credited with the righteousness of Jesus, to have your Spirit dwell in us so that we may see ourselves and you and the world around us through your eyes. Guide our steps this week, Lord, because we are going into this old, tired, sin-riddled world, walking the streets just as Jesus did in Jerusalem. And I pray that we will see people the way that your son sees people. I pray that we will look at people the way you looked at us when we were far away. I pray that we will look at enemies and unknowns and threats as future brothers and sisters and friends. Guide our steps this week, Lord, because we need constant reminders to do your will and not our own. We need constant reminders to not be afraid and to not be selfish, but to trust you each and every day for providing what we need and getting us through. We love you, Lord. We lift up Robert and Janet and the kids, and we lift up those that were affected last week at camp. It was such an awesome week. And just the fact that you allowed them to have that week of growing closer to you, we just pray that you protect everybody that tested positive from this. And we just pray that you bring healing. We pray that they will get through this just fine. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and we celebrate and rejoice with the Nixons and their baby girl. We pray that they're this week and the coming weeks as they adjust to this new size family, that you will bless them, that you will be with them, and let Madeline grow and be strong and be healthy. Heavenly Father, we lift up Richard, and we pray that you work in his body for good. We pray that you bring healing. We pray, Lord, that everything that is there will be contained, that it will stay put and that you get it. Heavenly Father, we lift up Greg and his pain. We ask for healing in his body. We pray, Father, that you just remove the pain and the suffering in his ear and his neck and his shoulder, that you touch him with your power. And Father, we lift up Rita. And we pray, Lord, that you fill her with your Holy Spirit. That this week, that she will not be afraid, but trust you. That this week, that she will know that her life is in your hands. And I pray, Lord, that you bless her with healing. That you bless her with strength. I pray, Father, that you watch over her in all things and be with her right now. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for giving us the joy of Jesus Christ. Thank you for sanctifying, for setting us apart in your truth. And thank you for giving us the unity that we have in Jesus Christ. We pray in his holy name. Amen.